This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Morning. The time has just gone 9:30, and a warm welcome to the second part of our Catholic radio program, and a very happy festive season to you all. I'm Peter Hurley, and during this part of our program, we'll share a radio liturgy with you, praying together and listening to God's Word. Joining me in the studio today are Brother Kevin Dobbin and Angela Kelly. So good morning, Angela and Kevin. Good to have you here on this last Sunday, the last day of the year. Welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Today we celebrate the feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And as I was preparing this, I thought, well, this is the last Sunday of the year, and some people will be hopefully getting together and celebrating the new year with their family. So we welcome the new year on Monday, and we hope that the new year will be one of hope and a return to some degree of normality after all the crises of the last year. What if the global situation deteriorates further? Well, we have to have that hope, and there is some anguish as well. Scripture tells us practically nothing about the first years and the boyhood of the child Jesus. All we know are the facts of the sojourn into Egypt, the return to Nazareth, and the incidents that occurred when the 12-year-old boy accompanied his parents to Jerusalem. In her liturgy, the Church hurries over this period of Christ's life with some equal brevity. The general breakdown of the family, however, at the end of the last century and the beginning of our own, prompted the popes, especially the far-sighted Leo XIII, to promote the observance of this feast with the hope that it might instill into Christian families something of the faithful love and devoted attachment that characterize the family of Nazareth. The primary purpose of the Church in instituting and promoting this feast is to present the Holy Family as a model of all Christian families. As Mother Teresa said, Jesus discovered the meaning and purpose of his life gradually, learning much of it from Mary and Joseph. When things work well, so do we. Look for the positives, not the shortcomings, in our family and in our world. What we need is to love without getting tired. Be faithful in small things, because it is in them that our strength lies. We may not do great things, but we can do small things with great love. So now let's listen to Michael Crawford and Joseph's Lullaby.
Mary, are you sleeping? Mary, I'm afraid. Mary. Mary, can I live up to the choice that God has made? Jesus, can you tell me, here upon my knee, what kind of father will I be? What can I give to you, you made from miracles that God has given me to keep? I can't give much to you, you made from miracles, but I can hold you as you sleep. What can you learn from me? You made for miracles, when I've so much to learn from you. What can a man like me offer the miracle who taught me miracles come true? Watching from above, when all I have to give you is love. But if it's love you need, you made from miracles, then take my hand and hold it tight.
So now let's begin our liturgy by acknowledging the Holy Trinity as we say together, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. On this feast, we think of the Holy Family. We think also of our own families, and we think of the human family and the family of the Church. Sadly, our families are wounded by sin and division. So we ask God to heal these wounds and divisions. Lord Jesus, you come to reconcile us to one another and to the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you intercede for us with the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, you are pleased to give us the shining example of the Holy Family. Graciously grant that we may imitate them in practicing the virtues of family life and in the bonds of love. And so, in the joy of your house, delight one day in eternal rewards. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, Angela and Kevin, could you share the readings with our listeners, please?
A reading from the book of Genesis. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. The Lord brought Abraham outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. God said to Abraham, As for Sarah, your wife, she shall not be called Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. So shall your descendants be. But Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of the peoples shall come from her. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm, we respond, The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
O give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the people. Sing to God, sing praises. Tell of all God's wonderful works.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Sarah herself, though barren, received power to conceive, even when she was too old, because she considered God who had made the promise to be faithful. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you. Abraham considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought the child Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." When Mary and Joseph had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And thank you both for those readings. Looking at a reflection, I found something which I think actually comes from Patricia Sanchez. I say I think because it just said what did it say? It says the HTTPS homilies, and it says Sanchez files. Anyway, be that as may, it's a story. And it's thought that this little story offers an example of the grace of change. And it talks about the members of an order of monks. It says the membership of a once numerous order of monks had dwindled over the years until there were only five brothers left in what had been a thriving community. For years, people from the surrounding area had been drawn into the monastery in search of learning and spiritual renewal. Now, no one tended to visit, as the spirit of the place and its inhabitants seemed to be slowly dying. One day, however, a rabbi happened to go and visit, and when he was about to leave, one of the brothers asked the rabbi if he had any advice on how they could revitalize themselves and make their monastery a spiritual center once again. After a few moments, the rabbi replied, "The only thing I can tell you is that the Messiah is one of you." Flabbergasted, the brothers replied, "The Messiah among us? Impossible." As the weeks passed, the brothers puzzled over the rabbi's revelation. If the Messiah were here, who would it be? Maybe Brother Timothy, he's the abbot, and in his capacity as leader, he could surely be chosen to be the Messiah. It couldn't be Brother Mark, he's always so argumentative. But he's quite often right. Or maybe it's Brother Pius, who tends the garden and the animals. He could probably nourish a troubled world if he were the Messiah. Or it could be Brother Dominic, he's studious, learned and familiar with all the great spiritual writings. It couldn't be Peter, could it? Certainly the Messiah couldn't be the one who cleaned the toilets, dirty laundry, and scrubbed the pots and the pans each day. Or could it? So since the monks were unable to determine which one of them was the Messiah, they began to treat one another as though each were the one. Moreover, just in case he himself might be the Messiah, each monk began to treat himself with a new respect and conduct himself with greater dignity. Within a few weeks, the monastery's occasional visitors were awed by the love, goodness, and revitalized spirituality that was experienced. They returned again and again and brought new friends along. Soon, a few young men asked to be admitted to the order, and the monastery thrived once again. Imagine the possibilities for growth and renewal if each family were to take to heart the rabbi's words, "The Messiah is one of you." How much more might spouses love and cherish one another? How much more might parents value their children, protect them, teach them, and lovingly attend to their needs? How much more might children honor and appreciate their parents if each member of every family were to reverence one another as the Messiah, that is, as Jesus, who is our Savior and brother? How much more might that strengthen and secure those familial bonds that are the infrastructure without which our society has no future?
Last, O loving Father, give us leave to go in peace, true to your promises of old. For today our eyes have seen the glory of your Son, something new.
Let us pray now for the needs of the whole human family, for all families, however, whoever and wherever they are, and for those who are closest to us.
For the Church, that we be formed into a family of faith that encourages and supports one another to live out the gospel values every day. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all mothers, that the Son of Mary will help them to love their children unselfishly and encourage them in the Christian way. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all fathers, that the Son of the Carpenter will fill them with wisdom as they seek to guide and accompany their children on the way to maturity and wholeness. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have no families, that those who have been orphaned, alienated, or rejected by their families may experience love, acceptance, and belonging to the Christian community. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those in government and authority, that they may learn from the example of the Holy Family and respect life and family values. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have died, that they experience the peace of Christmas in everlasting life. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Creator God, hear us as we pray, joining our prayers with believers all over the world and praying as one family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're coming to the end now of our Catholic radio program for this Sunday, for this year. And at this season, the office closes down, so there's no news from the various parishes. But we'll be back again next year, which is next week. So from
Angela
and
Kevin
and from me, Peter, may you all have a wonderful new year. The song One Ohana is from Hawaii, and like many Polynesian cultures, it shares a strong sense of family or whānau. And so as we conclude, let us remember that we are all one family in Christ.
In the garden of creation, here is the home of life and love. Circled round by endless blessings, earth below and sky above. We are a part of all creation, given the breath of life to share. All the glory of our Maker with every person everywhere. All of creation, one ohana, all of creation sings in you. Many the voices, one great music, part of me and part of you.
There is a secret in creation, there is a mystery all around. All the creatures, all that grows here, light and darkness, every sound.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.